Mr. Reedy, do you agree with that? Was it in the notice?
No, it was not. It was handed to us the day of the sale, at the sale. It was the first time it was known. In fact, the sample contract does not contain that attachment. It is not true, Ted. There was never a prior, no hearing, and no published data on that at all. In fact, I have the paperwork with me if you want to take a look at it.
Why do you need that setback?
Frankly, I don't think we do.
Frankly, can you get rid of it in this instance? Why?
Because regardless of what Mr. Reedy says, it was advertised that way. We offered to cancel his contract.
Okay, well, we're going to be able to resolve some of these in terms. Go ahead.
Do you want a copy of the contract?
Yeah.
I give it here. I got the original and exactly what was published today.
Ted, I want you to look at that too and see if you agree so that at least I can get down to that.
Also, the calculator that Ted is talking about that he's using in his office is pre-programmed.
Yes. And your people don't even know how it's programmed.
I discussed this with them too. It is pre-programmed and they don't know how the interest is calculated. Here's the sale, here's the attachment, and here's the contract.
Would you do me a favor and see if one of the legislative attorneys are available? Because right after this, I want you guys to get, I want to get these guys together. I want that attorney to tell me who's right and who's wrong, as he sees it.
That one sheet with the attachment handed out at the same.
If you know of a public hearing, I'd like to know what date it was and have some reference to who was there and so on and so forth. We have not been able to determine if there was ever a public hearing.
Is that setback? Is that off 300 foot off the stream?
Off the high water table of the stream, yes. High water level.
On both sides?
Huh?
On both sides.
Both sides.
600 feet.
That's a lot of
600 feet. For anything, and if any building, you couldn't even build a, you know, a bridge across that walkway. There's no way you could build a bridge across that river if you had it.
Ted, do you agree that that's kind of unnecessary?
I did it at the time, Senator.
Well, why did you do it? Is it a law?
I did. Mike Smith was Assistant Commissioner at that time.
Well, okay.
Well, why are we having trouble getting rid of it? Man, I've been down there four or five times. I'm in court against you people right now. And I still can't get it settled.
But you're saying the reason you can't settle is it was a matter of the offer and acceptance. Okay, but he's saying that there was no public, it was only handed there. That wouldn't constitute offer.
This was a public auction with the terms of auction in the brochure and material made available. Mr. Green was a high bidder public auction. I'm willing to call the deal off, but I can't go back and adjust it.
Okay.
You mean you can't or just don't want to? Or is it legally you can't?
Legally I can't.
Oh, that's what.
Because it was a public auction, not a negotiated. I can't negotiate sales of land. It's against the law.
But isn't there some requirement, though, for a notice period or something like that? Can you just hand out something at the day or an hour before the hearing?
No, sir. You do have to give notice. This is a matter of a classification action that took place well in advance of the sale, as well as the conditions of the sale.
Okay, but clearly there's a dispute here,
yes.
A legitimate dispute. He says that there was no notice except handed out at the sale. You agree there should have been a notice prior?
I'm sure there was, yes.
Was there or wasn't there, Ted?
Yes, there was.
Where?
I don't have the file with me.
Let me just track it down one more, closer, one more point. If there was not notice, if there was notice and he does not... If
we are attempting to impose an after-fact condition, that's as legal as removing it, illegal as removing it after-fact.
Okay. So if, and so we're all on the same ground rules, that notice would have, or that hearing or whatever, would have had to occur before the day of the sale, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it's merely a matter of you demonstrating or showing that that, showing that that notice... and our hearing occurred.
Senator, I can't get very deeply into this because we are in court and they're actively negotiating.
I know, but the points that we're talking about, I don't give a damn whether it's in court or not. I'm talking about the law as we see it. And I'm not asking you anything that would jeopardize your case, I don't think. I'm just trying to say, if with your understanding of the law, there should have been a notice and a hearing or whatever before the date of the sale. And to the best of your knowledge, there was one. Okay, now, if there was, that's public knowledge, public information, and you can provide that.
Right.
Is that correct? All right. And Mr. Breeding, if it comes down to this simple, if there was one and he does provide, and I'm going to ask you for that, and if you can't give it to him, I'll give it to him because it's public information. I will make you aware of that. If there was a public notice and a public hearing, that's the end of the subject. If there was not, then we've got a problem that you've got to correct and pull that back out of there.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to hear a record on the public hearing meeting.
Oh, I understand.
Because there must have been objections. I'm sure there were objections. If there were not, then I want to know why. Because 300, 600, nobody's going to give 600 feet away from his property for nothing, particularly when drinking water requirements of the state only require 100 foot setback for a Class A well.
I hear everything you're saying, and I don't argue with that, but I'm just saying if there was a...
But I will be surprised, you know, because I can think of about 100 engineers and public people that will be at that meeting and say, go jump.
Uh-huh.
You'd never get it passed, I'm sure.
All right. How long would it take you to check with your office and see what that date is for me?
I could probably have the information tomorrow.
All right. I'd appreciate it if you'd do that for me. Down payment varies. I think I asked you that. You said no, that did not happen. Okay, Mr. Breeding, I'm going to ask you to show and our staff the sort of data you've got that show.
The down payment is based on the discounted purchase price, except for auctions.
Okay, and you understand that that's legal. I mean, one person's down payment could be different for the same period, same person, or for the same parcel, depending on who's buying it.
Yes.
All right. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Well, then that's not a problem. He controls. The legislature allows discounts for veterans or discounts for other people, and so those down payments will vary.
Well, there's no question about the amount of down payment.
Uh-huh.
It's how it's applied to the purchase price. At the auction, they require 10% down payment on the purchase price.
Right.
What I'm saying is the lottery and open entry sales after that date, and also our request at the time of the sale, was why shouldn't we pay 10% on the purchase price minus the discounts? Actually, we're paying a lot more money down payment than we would have to because the sale price of the property is not what the bid price is.
But you're not losing that money. You're just, they're giving you credit for it on payments on the land, I think.
Yes.
You just didn't see
it. No, they're not. Now, that's another problem. They are not giving us credit for payment on that land.
They give you ultimate credit, do they not? They don't.
It's a deposit that is subtracted from the price. Yes, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes, but it is not a payment on the schedule because the bid deposit says it does not transfer anything to the person that will purchase it. So it is strictly a deposit. But it's more than necessary. So afterwards, the lottery and open entry sale, these things here that were put out afterwards in October and in May, allowed the purchase price minus the discount before you took off your down payment.
That's right.
So it was allowed. They can do it. It's proven in the here that they can do it, so I don't know why they aren't doing it in the auctions. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, why aren't you doing it?
Because we have to collect the 10% at the auction. 30 days later, we find out what the discount he might be eligible for. At that point, we subtract the 10% deposit from that discounted purchase price to give the balance remaining to get the payments on that.
And what do you do with the balance remaining? If they're 10% down is really more than they should have had to pay, if you had known all of these facts out front, what do you do with that money?
It goes against the purchase price, the entire amount of deposit.
Okay.
If he bids $1,000, he gives us $100. That's the deposit.
Right.
Assuming he signs a contract,
right,
and becomes the first payment.
Right.
So if a discounted purchase price is, if he gets a 50% discount for $500, well, then he's got a $500 discount, the $100 deposit, and a balance remaining of $400.
Okay, and he's saying, if I'm understanding him right, that if $500 was his discount, he should have only had to pay 10% down on $500. Right. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Breeding?
Yes.
And it's impossible for us to do that at the auction. Auctions are, in fact, different.
Okay, but are you saying that they do that in some cases?
They're doing it in all cases.
They
do it on every other type of sale other than auction.
They require the discount program to be applied for at the time of sale.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sign a paper at the sale saying you have discounts coming. You cannot do it after the date of sale.
So on the date of sale, you can apply for your discounts, and at the bottom of the discount program, there's a $50,000 fine for false information and 5 years imprisonment and conviction for false information. That same paper could apply the date of sale as well as it could down the road 30 days.
Why couldn't it apply the same in this case as in other cases? Is it the law?
Yeah, well, it's mechanics as much as law. The inability to ascertain at the date of sale in the time available
whether
the discount is valid right. or not.
I understand. But in that instance, once you do find it out, why don't you just refund them the difference so that everybody's treated alike rather than taking the difference in the money?
If I remember correctly, I think the statute on auction says that we make a 10% down payment at the sale.
But it doesn't define down payment, or does it from the sale price?
You know, there's
all that's reasonable.
No, I'm just trying to. Sure. Okay. I'm going to get the staff.
Discussion, but if you get the lawyers together.
Yeah. I'm going to try.
You guys aren't that far apart.
Oh, and if they are, maybe some of it's the law, and if it is, we can change that. Ted, would you check and find out if the law precludes you from treating this program like the rest of it? In other words, just return the balance of the down payment if there are discounts, once the discounts are figured up, or...
House Bill 946, which is presently pending, tackles it a different way. They suggest that rather than take 10%, just take 5% at the auction.
And then make them pay the difference at the closing, if there is a difference to be paid?
No.
Okay.
Just instead of a 10% down payment, make it a 5% down payment.
Okay, but would that still leave us with the differences between this program and other programs?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to get some consistency between the two. Well, I wouldn't mind.
I don't think it's necessary, Senator.
Okay.
If we do cut it to 5%, then that's assuming everybody has the maximum discount available, 50%. So.
But then they'll reverse it on you, if I know how things work. I mean, just the opposite will be true. Somebody will come in and complain that just the opposite to this argument is true. And so I'm wondering why, if you collect it, I don't care about 5% or 10%, but I'm just saying, once collected, if it turns out to be more, I wouldn't mind if it was applied to the first payment or something like that, rather than...
practice. We keep it all and count it as the first payment as well.
But you can't do that by law. That the law, the deposit receipt, the contract, do not stipulate that deposit is anything more than a deposit. It cannot be used as a down payment like you keep insisting on doing, Ted. It does not say that. It is a deposit only.
I thought, though, what we were talking about is that you took the deposit and simply deducted it from the gross amount of money that's owed, or the total balance owed, not that you just simply applied it to the first months.
We treat it as a deposit until the contract signed. At the time the contract signed, we treat it as the first payment. And that's where you got the 39 payments remaining.
Mm-hmm. Where did you take my contract and tell me I had a remaining balance on that first payment? Have you got a letter to that effect?
From whom? Where what?
Did you ever give me a letter or any indication that you were taking my deposit, subtracting off the amount difference between that and the discount, and using that for the first payment?
I have no idea.
In other words, how is the customer, the client to know, or the buyer to know how you're handling his account? Is there a disclosure of how the money is?
He gets a copy of the contract,
which doesn't say anything about the difference of deposit and
acknowledges receipt of the 10%. Shows the amount remaining in the annual or quarterly payments, annual payments, whatever they are on the year.
And shows the amount of the first payment?
Yeah.
No,
it doesn't.
I'm trying to determine if there is some way for them to define how their money was spent.
No way in the contract could have. Here's a copy of the contract.
Let me just see it briefly.
Maybe there's one in there, I don't know. That's
important. Do you have you don't have another copy or can do you?
I don't know what I do.
Did I send you one ready in there?
Yes, I did.
We have a copy. It should be the second contract in the package.
Okay, give a copy to Ted. I'm trying to. And Josh, would you call the office down there or something and see when I've got to leave?
Okay. You have a 4 o'clock.
I have a 4 o'clock out there. Then I got to leave here in a minute. So.
I'm referring to the.
No, tell them I'll be there in just a minute.
In fact, it doesn't even say how many payments are to be made.
Paragraph there says the total price $81,000, amount of $8,100, which is 10%, has been paid as a deposit concurrent with the tender by the seller to purchase. So the contract, the balance is said total price should be paid in equal quarterly installments of 1632.22.
I would read that to mean that you take the $8,100 off of the $81,000,
right,
and divide the rest of it in so many equal payments.
Sure.
In which case, the 10% or no part of that initial 10% or down payment applies simply to the, in other words, the balance of the down payment doesn't apply simply to the first payment that's due.
Well, obviously that's substantially more than the first payment. Payments are $1,600.
I understand that, but I'm saying, let's say that you had $8,100 as a down payment. Then you find out that he's entitled to credit. And the credit would have reduced, let's
discount.
Yeah, the discount would have reduced the $81,000 for round figures, let's say, to $51,000. All right, that would have left then roughly $3,000 difference in terms of the amount of money normally one would expect to have to pay down.
You're saying that the down payment should have been 10% of $51,000 in that case.
Yeah. And I'm sort of asking, under other programs, wouldn't
under
it have been
other programs?
Yeah.
It is, because all right, we don't prepare the contract. We don't. Well, none of the other programs have a deposit either.
Uh-huh.
I understand. You don't have to make a deposit like you do at home.
Okay. What I'm asking now is, if that were the case, would it be possible either to, once all of this is figured out, to take that portion which would apply to 10% of the net amount they paid for the property, less the discounts, apply 10% to that figure and do one or two things, either return the balance to them or apply it all to the first payment so that there wouldn't be a first payment, maybe a second payment, and that sort of thing. Is there any way of accommodating that? Could we do it?
We certainly could. I don't think it's any great service to the public, though, to require another payment immediately.
No.
That's separate from the deposit.
I always felt that
we were giving people a break by
maybe I'm not making my
first payment immediately.
Well, maybe I'm not making myself clear. I assume that there was $3,000 down payment more than would normally be required after the discounts are applied. It's if there were discounts from $81,000 down to $51,000, that meant you would need for 10% of that $5,100. But they paid $8,100 on auction day. That leaves $3,000. Now the question is, what?
Excess deposit.
The question is, what do we do with the excess deposit?
Our present practice is to treat it as part of the first payment and deduct it from the balance due. See, this contract.
It doesn't say that anywhere, Ted. That's what I'm trying to say.
This contract is dated the 19th of August.
Mm-hmm.
And the first payment is due the 19th of November. That's actually the second payment. We're saying that the $8,100 includes the first payment.
Okay, I see. Well, part of the problem would come then that, well, you know what happens to the buyer, apparently.
Well, if I can follow through
sure.
What you're suggesting, we could, in fact, take the 10% of the bid price down at the auction,
mm-hmm.
Treat it strictly as a deposit, not any part of the payment.
Right.
We could then go into the contract and have the first payment due concurrent with the signing of the contract.
Yeah, that wasn't my suggestion. I knew I might have conveyed that to you, but my suggestion was essentially, what did we do with the $3,000? And my suggestion was you do just what you did with it, was apply it to the first payment or return it, one or the other. Those are our...
We've never been in the practice of returning it. We get the money, we run.
Okay, I understand that.
You did.
Yeah. And his concern was he didn't physically see it in the, he can see it by omission of a month's payment. Were you aware that it went to offset a full month's payment?
No. In fact, we did not get the contract till October 17th. That's the reason it's dated November 17th to give us time to sign the contract.
Would you have any objections if you knew that any overpayment applied immediately to the first payment, so that they wouldn't have to mail back a check for $3,000, and by the time you get that, you'd have to turn around and make another payment of whatever the first payment is?
I think it would be a heck of a bookkeeping job for them, because everybody would have a different discount,
right.
You'd have a different payment, you'd have a different balance, you'd really have some bookkeeping problems.
All right, so you would agree that any excess over and above 10% of the 10% down payment of the net figure, less, you know, the gross figure less the discounts. Did you follow my numbers a while ago?
Yep.
From 51,000? All right, what do we do with the $3,000? Would you agree that it could go to pay any payments up until that whole $3,000 is used to be applied immediately at the front of the contract?
I'd rather do it the other way I was suggesting before.
What's that?
The calculation be made at the date of sale with the discounts calculated. It can be done very easily. The discounts, if he wants 10 years discounting and veterans, that can be done right there. The discounts can be calculated. The deposit can be calculated, and the man pays exactly what he has to pay. The balance of payments then can be calculated within minutes on a calculator, and the whole contract filled out at the time of sale.
Ted, let me follow that for a minute. If a person filled out a form and said, you don't know what they're going to bid is one problem, right?
Purchase price, don't know the discount.
Although you do know that the person could bring with them evidence of...
We'd have to require it, evidence of the residency.
How? Okay.
All it is a notarized sheet. That's all we do now. We hand it to the Department of Lands, Division of Lands. It's a notarized sheet.
We require proof as well, if you're a successful bidder or whatever.
That takes your time, and it could take 30 days or whatever. You've got to check it out. I agree with you. But the man has signed a notarized sheet, and he says, this is what I've got coming. It's under penalty and fine. It's the same thing as he signs the deposit receipt and the contract. It could be a legal document that could be done at the data site. I don't see it.
I see what. If a person supports to you that they bid $81,000 on this property, and they are entitled to a 20% discount or 40% discount or whatever it is, if they allege that to you on the date of the sale or date of the auction, could you not take them at least at that time at their word that is true, allow that as towards the discount, and then they pay 10% down on the net value? Now, say you take now $5,100 instead of $8,100. If during the course of events you find out that they are wrong, I don't know what options you have. You can say, pay me the difference, or you can say, we're going to terminate this thing. I don't know what your obligations are.
It would be fraud. Cancel the contract for payment.
Okay.
He's got $5,100. He has nothing to lose. The depositor has everything. The purchaser has everything to lose at that point, and nothing to gain.
But does that put an unfair burden on the purchaser? I'm reading in the paper here today, and I don't have any reason not to believe it. Parker faces prosecution because he's made an accounting error or a mistake or something like that. Let's say the same thing occurred on the date of the sale, inadvertent or not. Is that an undue burden to place?
No, because the discount program requires, the sheet for the discount requires that it be filed on the date of sale.
Anyway,
if you don't file it on the date of sale, you cannot ask for the discount after the sale.
Okay.
So it has to be done on the date of sale.
Okay, see, now he's saying that's not true, so I don't know. Is that not true?
That's not true. We asked as a convenience to have it there. And we say that we need it in order to compute the contract price, but I certainly wouldn't say you can't have a discount because you don't have your sheet out on the date of sale.
That's what your sheet says. The discount? In fact, you should have a contract.
Well, and I no doubt do.
Yeah. The land discount
program. It has to be filed on the date of sale, or it is not.
Ted, this flat ass says pardon the French. A buyer must apply for the discount at the time of sale or lottery, or the date the contract is entered to, entered into in this case, or in the case of negotiating. Oh, I see. Yeah, it says, a buyer must apply for the discounts at the time of sale or lottery, or the date of the contract is entered into in case of negotiated sales and opened entry purchases. It says must.
You understand that's 2 years old.
No, I didn't.
You changed it. I mean, where did if you change it?
The law became effective on July 18th, and this sale was held on August 19th, and we were pretty experimental in the process at that point.
All right, so now this is not a problem because the law has changed, or
our procedures,
Have changed.
There is no law saying you had to apply on that day.
All right. Okay, I don't know if we caught another crack on that one. I don't know. Well, I tell you what, I've got to go. And let me suggest that what we do is get Cheryl and yourself and an attorney, arrange some times, you guys sit down. I don't care if these two guys agree or not. All I'm concerned about is the areas they disagree in. And then I want to know what specific changes, if it's the law, that they both agree on might should be changed. And if not, then I want to know the degree to which the law must be changed to accommodate any disagreements, and then we'll make some decision as to whether to implement that or not. So let's try to clearly define the areas of differences, the areas where there is no longer a problem because of law or regulation change or policy change or whatever. Are we off the tape? Well, here we're adjourned.